You may be seated. So it's an exciting day, you know. We're getting all these things kicked off, handing out all these Bibles to our kids, you know, at the different age levels. It's very cool. It's all part of us being disciples of Jesus. And guess what? Just by claiming to be a Christian, which I assume everybody does, you are a disciple of Jesus. And so the book that we're going to be starting to read through next Sunday is all about discipleship. And all that is simply being a disciple of Jesus, living out and acting out the ways our teacher has taught us to live and to act. Now, this isn't something, you know, that we just do completely on our own, which is very good, because we would really go our own way, wouldn't we? And so we have the Holy Spirit, obviously, who guides and directs us in our daily lives to live and walk as disciples of Jesus. And that's why we give out these Bibles, because it's all about reading His Word and getting excited about His Word. And my prayer is that they don't just use these Bibles when they're here at Promise, but use them at home. You know, Scripture tells us to read these when you're at home, when you're sitting around, when you're driving around. Well, it doesn't say driving around in Scripture, but same thing. Anytime. Use His Word at all times, and I promise your faith is going to grow. The Holy Spirit uses that, and it's awesome. And so, since we're talking about discipleship and being disciples of Jesus for the next couple months, I wanted to focus on probably the most popular disciple, that being Peter. He's the one that's talked about quite a bit in the Bible. Between him and John, those are the two most popular of the 12 disciples. And so if you are somebody who experiences a lot of highs and lows in your faith life, I think you can identify with Peter. Now, Peter certainly had a lot of highs as a disciple of Jesus. You know, he's the one that confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. When Jesus asked his disciples, you know, who do people say that I am? And Peter boldly says, you are the Son of God. And that was an awesome high. The Holy Spirit enabled Peter to do that boldly. Peter's one of the three disciples that got to go up on that mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, and see Jesus in all his glory. Peter got to see the amazing catch, you know, when they weren't catching any fish. Jesus told them to flip it up, the nets over on the other side. They did it, and they couldn't even hardly carry the fish back that they caught. He got to witness that. He got to see Jesus' miracles, his healings. But then there's the lows of Peter. You know, right after he made that great confession of Jesus, he rebuked something that Jesus had said in response. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He goes from a high to a low. So in other words, if you are a disciple of Jesus, you don't want Jesus to call you Satan. That's not a good thing. That means you probably have done something wrong. A couple other lows that he's had is he cut off a dude's ear with a sword. And one of his most famous is, of course, when he denied Jesus the three times the night that Jesus was arrested. And I have a couple pictures here that I wanted to show you. I believe, yeah, so this is some of the things that we saw in Israel when we were over there on the trip. This church is in Jerusalem, and it's a church, St. Peter's, of something. I forget right now. But anyway, it's hard to see it, but here at the very top of the building, there's a cross. Does anybody see that cross? On top of the cross, can you see it, is a rooster. This church is built in honor of Peter's three denials. Now, I can't help but think Peter's up in heaven, and it's like, really? That's the church you're going to build in my honor, is one recognizing the time that I'm the most embarrassed about? But that's what this church is. There's a rooster on the top. And then this next picture is one of the sculptures they had outside. This is a sculpture of Peter, and there's some coals there, a fire, and a servant girl behind him. And that's when the servant girl asked, aren't you one of the Jesus's followers? And Peter denies. Again, not Peter's high moment, a low moment for Peter. And then this is the front door of that church. And it was a very, very cool front door. Because on the one side is Jesus. So on your left is Jesus. On the right is Peter. And this is the time when Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him three times before the rooster crows. And Peter's like, no, not me. I would never deny you. And you know what's cool about the design of this front door? So the door that opened is the side that Peter is on. So as you walk through, who's Jesus pointing at? Us. And how often have we denied Jesus in our thoughts, our words, our actions? And so that was just a cool symbolic thing to be reminded. Yes, this was a huge blunder, a very low point for Peter, but we're no better than Peter. Jesus came for us too. And so one of my very favorite events that Peter's involved in is in Matthew. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 14. And it's beginning with verse 22. And this is an event where Peter experiences a high and a couple lows. So see if you can identify them. So let's read the first few verses. It says, immediately he, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. All right. I read a little bit further than I wanted to, but the first few verses there is Jesus is setting up this whole event of him walking on the water, because he sends them off in a boat to the other side. They had just gotten done preaching to a bunch of people. Jesus had dismissed those crowds. And you notice what Jesus does. This is another thing that we can learn from and do. Jesus went off by himself to pray. It's an amazing lesson that Jesus is teaching us here. How important it is for us to be alone with our Heavenly Father in prayer, away from all of the stuff. And so you notice also, by Jesus sending his disciples in a boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, that's where they're at, he has set up a separation between him and his disciples. There's a separation. And so just to paint the picture for you, the disciples are in a boat. This isn't one of those huge storms. This isn't when Jesus calmed the storm. But it's very windy and wavy. But remember, most of the disciples were fishermen. They know how to work the sea when it's like that. And it even says in Scripture that they're already a long ways away from where Jesus sent them out. So they're making their way across, even though it's super wavy, super windy. But there's this separation between the disciples and Jesus. And so as I was reading through this text, these 12 verses here in Matthew 14, I always look for things that jump out at me. And in this particular text, I had a couple questions, and I wanted to share those to you. So I broke it up into three sections, and I have a question for each one, for something for you to think about, because it got me to thinking. Have you ever felt as if Jesus was distant from you? Think about that for a second. Have you ever felt like Jesus was a long ways off? thinking about this separation between the disciples and Jesus. And now the scene for one of Jesus' most amazing miracles is set. And notice who comes to who in this separation. I'm going to reread it, even though I already read it, but starting with verse 25, and in the fourth watch, so the fourth watch is early morning. This is like 3 a.m. in the morning of the night. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." All right, there's a lot going on here. The disciples are working hard. I imagine, you know, the waves are coming up over the boat a little bit, splashing them, they're getting wet. But they're making headway across the Sea of Galilee. And I was actually, we were all on the Sea of Galilee when we went over there, and it's a pretty big sea. It's just a big lake, by the way. It's not an ocean, but it's a huge lake. And it gets very windy there, and the waves are very big when it's windy like that. And so they're battling across. Jesus had told them he'll catch up with them later. I'm not sure what the disciples thought he meant by that, but I guarantee you they didn't think he was going to come walking out on the water to them. And so as they're battling the waves, Jesus starts coming. You see, the problem that the disciples have here isn't the waves and the wind. Like I said, that most of them are fishermen. They know how to get their boat across the waves. This is kind of a picture. This isn't an actual picture of the event. But you see Jesus there. Their problem isn't the wind and the waves. Their problem is they don't recognize this person or thing walking to them on the water. That's what's freaking them out. And you notice they have a threefold response to seeing Jesus walking to them. First thing, they're terrified. That's what Scripture tells us. They are terrified. And they sort of speak an anti-confession almost. They say, "It's a ghost. It's got to be. Nobody can walk on water." And then they scream. They scream out. Now, you know what? I have seen the same type of a response, this threefold response, when my daughters see a bug in their room. You know, they're terrified. They scream out, "It's a tarantula. It's the size of a dog." And then they scream for dad to come kill it. Only to come up and it's just a Japanese beetle or a small spider. But I'm sure we've all seen people respond like this in this threefold response that the disciples just gave. And notice that Jesus immediately calms their fear, telling them that it's he. Hey guys, it's me, it's Jesus. Tells them not to be afraid. And it's at this point. So they know it's Jesus, right? But they're confused. And so Peter doesn't quite believe what Jesus has just said. So let me recap this for a second. I want to paint this picture for you. So they're in this boat going across the water. Jesus comes walking to them. They freak out. They're scared. Jesus is walking on the water. Just wanted to repeat that. And it's at this point, Jesus has just identified himself. "It is I, Jesus. Don't be afraid, guys." It's at this point that Peter feels the need to jump in again and say something. The gall of Peter, the guts. He's always somebody that's sticking his foot in his mouth. He's thinking He speaks before he thinks. Does anybody know somebody like that? Or maybe you are that person. He's speaking before he thinks. He doesn't really believe what Jesus just said. Who has been walking on the water and is now standing close enough that they can see him. Peter still doesn't believe. If it's you, let me come out. So let's read the end of this here. Starting with 29. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, Truly you are the Son of God. And so the second question I had here, as Peter was not quite believing, is, have you ever needed more proof in order to follow or believe the words of Jesus? Have you ever said to Jesus, well, I'll follow you, but can you just give me this one sign? Can you make it clear in my life where you want me to go? This is what Peter needed. He needed more proof. And then we get to this last bizarre request of Peter. If it's you, tell me to come out. And you notice again, Jesus responds with incredible grace and mercy. And this is another miracle, by the way. Peter was walking on water until he took his eyes off Jesus and paid attention to the waves and the wind around him. And he immediately sunk. You know, Peter isn't exactly necessarily a role model here in this event. Because the only reason he was walking on water is because he didn't believe Jesus the first time when Jesus said, it's me. Jesus, the guy you've been hanging out with. Peter needed more proof. So I guess it was bold that he did get out of the boat into the wavy sea, and he was walking on water. But Jesus responds to him in grace and mercy, and then he immediately sinks. And how does Jesus respond? Again, with grace and mercy. Reaches down immediately and picks him up out of the water, out of the wind, out of the waves. So the last question I have is, I have it on a sheet, but I changed how I wanted to word this question. So it's not going to match up, but what in this world causes you to take your eyes off Jesus? For Peter in this event, it was the wind and the waves. He was scared. His fear caused him to take his eyes off Jesus. What is it in your life? Think about that. I left the lines blank. Because it could be anything different for each and every one of us. A lot of times I struggle with fear. I take my eyes off Jesus. Sometimes I focus more on worries. Sometimes I focus more on this or that, the things that this world has to offer. What is it for you that causes you to take your eyes off Jesus? You know, it's because of those times that we do take our eyes off Jesus that Jesus came. You remember, we've been talking a lot about being a disciple of Jesus the past couple months, and in Luke, there's that verse that Jesus had set his eyes, his face like flint towards Jerusalem. Jesus never took his eyes off of that. He never took his focus. He let nothing take his focus off what he was there to do, which was to come, live a perfect life on our behalf, and then to take each and every one of our sins to the cross and die for them. Because we can't keep our eyes fixed on Jesus all the time. He kept his eyes fixed on the cross. And praise Jesus for that, right? And just like with Peter and the other disciples, him responding with total grace and mercy, that's exactly how Jesus responds to each and every one of us, with grace and mercy. And because of that grace, we are getting something that we do not deserve, which is eternal life. Our sins are forgiven. And so because of that, we can be a disciple of Jesus as we live out our lives each and every day. Amen. Will you